The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 5th chapter. On one occasion, while the crowd was pressing in on Jesus to hear the word of God, he was standing by the lake of Gennesaret. And he saw two boats by the lake, but the fishermen had gone out of them and were washing their nets. Getting into one of the boats, which was Simon's, he asked him to put out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people from the boat. And when he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch." And Simon answered, "Master, we toiled all night and took nothing. But at your word, I will let down the nets." And when they had done this, they enclosed a large number of fish, and their nets were breaking. They signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both the boats, so that they began to sink. But when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." For he and all who were with him were astonished at the catch of fish that they had taken. And so also were James and John, sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. And Jesus said to Simon, "Do not be afraid. From now on, you will be catching men." And when they had brought their boats to land, they left everything and followed him. This is the gospel of the Lord. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. In our Lenten midweek services this year, we continue to work through Martin Luther's Small Catechism. Having completed section one of the Catechism, the six chief parts of Christian teaching, that is, the Ten Commandments, the Apostles' Creed, the Lord's Prayer, the Sacrament of Holy Baptism, Confession and the Office of the Keys, and the Sacrament of the Altar, this year we will be focusing on section three of the Catechism, the Table of Duties. This section is subtitled "Certain Passages of Scripture for Various Holy Orders and Positions, Admonishing Them About Their Duties and Responsibilities." In this section, Luther has compiled a brief group of verses that instruct Christians on godly living within their various vocations. The schedule for our midweek service is printed on the back of the worship folder, shows the holy orders and positions that Luther includes: pastors and their hearers, government and citizens, husbands, wives, parents and children, workers, employers, and youth. Before getting into the verses that Luther has compiled, however, tonight we will be hearing something of an introduction to the topic from a sermon Luther preached on Luke chapter 5, verses 1 to 11, the great catch of fish, and Jesus calling Peter to leave his nets and begin catching men. It took a while for Luther to get around to talking about the catch of fish and the call of Peter in this sermon. We'll be hearing from the first half of that sermon, in which he preached about serving God aright and living free from fear in your vocations. Luther preaches. Luke begins stating that a multitude of pious people followed the Lord Jesus and was anxious to hear him preach. By this example, God would incite us also to willingly hear his word and zealously continue in it. That's because whoever hears the word of God diligently enjoys two great advantages, which could never be enjoyed without that word. The first advantage of hearing God's word diligently is that we learn to know his will, his disposition toward us, and what he will do with us after this life. It is impossible for you to know these things without the word of God. You will either proceed on your way securely and presumptuously without the fear of God and not believing that God is really angry at sin, or if you have sufficient knowledge of his wrath over sin from the preaching of the law, you can arrive at no other conclusion than that God will condemn you on account of your sin. But the Word of God teaches that although God is fearfully angry at the impenitent, yet he will be merciful, deliver from sin and death, and give eternal life to all those who turn to him in true faith in his Son, Jesus Christ. This is the first blessing we receive from the Word, which therefore we should cheerfully and diligently hear. The other advantage of being diligent in hearing God's Word is that you learn from it how your temporal life, your vocation, and your work, being included and encompassed in the Word of God and sanctified by it, forms a true service of God with which he is well pleased. Therefore, to serve God, it is not necessary for a man to engage in something extraordinary in his life, as the monks purport to have been doing. Simply remain in your temporal calling and do what your rulers, office and position, require of you. In this way, God is served aright and is well pleased. He will grant success and prosperity. This is an important teaching upon which a great deal depends, that we regard our calling as included and encompassed in God's Word, so that each person may be sure that all that he does and leaves undone, he does and leaves undone in the name and at the command of God. Thus the soul is prepared to defy the devil, can be of good cheer and say, I have today done this and that, and I have done it because I know God has told me and commanded me in his Word to do so. I therefore know that it is a good work with which God is well pleased. Whoever cannot speak thus should abandon his work, no matter what it may be, for it is sin and God is displeased with it. As St. Paul writes, whatever is not from faith is sin. Whoever does not want to live in uncertainty like the heathen, but desires to lead a God-pleasing life and to do everything in faith, must have and know the Word of God. That's because faith cannot exist where the Word of God isn't present. You may wonder what that Word is, a Word that includes and encompasses every vocation and your whole life. But we can easily tell you. In the first place is the fourth commandment, honor your father and your mother. This commandment embraces all stations of life, for the state of marriage is the source of all other states. God has made one state depend on the other, as the state of marriage must serve all the others. For no civil government or civil well-being could exist without it. So again, all other states have to serve the state of marriage. In addition to this word, which includes and encompasses every state, there is another word which embraces all works, namely, the word which commands and requires of us to love our neighbor as ourselves. These two commandments we should keep in view continually. Then our actions will be right according to the word and commandments of God. If we merely look at the work, it appears to be a small thing that a young woman is engaged in cooking, washing dishes, sweeping the room, or in nursing, wiping, and bathing little children. For this is done also by the heathen and those who are no Christians. Yet they do it without the word of God. That is, they do not believe that in the ordinary, everyday labor, they are serving the Lord and rendering obedience to Him. They are ignorant of His commands. But a young woman who is a Christian knows from the fourth commandment that God demands such works of us, and is aware also that love for our neighbor requires it. For this reason, her work is good and holy and needs no special blessing. The word of God is the true blessing or sanctification. As the Lord says by the holy apostle Paul, "Slaves, be obedient to those who are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, in the sincerity of your heart, as to Christ." And again, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord." Works which do not differ outwardly in appearance from the works of the heathen become holy and well-pleasing in the sight of God by the word of God and faith. Without such faith and word, however, God cannot be pleased. Whatever is to be sanctified must be sanctified by the name and word of God. The requirement of the fourth commandment affects all callings and work. If they are performed by faith in Jesus, in the name of God, and in obedience to Him, they become sanctified and are holy callings and works, well-pleasing in the sight of God. If, according to the will of God, you die in the performance of such a calling, you die a blessed death. For you die in the true faith and in obedience to God, and are a child of God and an heir of eternal life. This is not on account of your works, but on account of faith which trusts that your person and your work are pleasing to God, of which faith, such obedience and work are the fruits. The works of a monk, on the other hand, when he puts on a cowl, has the top of his head shaved in a tonsure, rises for matins, reads the mass, observes special rules in eating and the like, may have a good appearance, but they are not performed according to the word of God, and therefore are not holy works. But this is a holy work, and renders holy, that you believe in Jesus, and take the fourth commandment and obey it. For you hear that your calling is sanctified by the word of God. Thus it is a holy calling. Therefore, we should first of all pay attention to the word. For a person who merely looks upon works will see no difference between a Christian and a heathen. Both do the works of father or mother, manservant or maidservant, master or mistress. Unbelievers and the heathen perform them in sin and unbelief, because they know nothing of God's word. A Christian, however, performs his labors in faith and regards them according to the word of God as works of obedience and thus well-pleasing to God. Such works of a Christian are therefore holy, while those of the unbeliever are unholy. Thus far, Luther. So that you and I might live free from fear in our vocations, so that we may be confident that we are serving God aright in how we live. Over the next four Wednesdays, we will consider the passages of Scripture that Luther collected in the Table of Duties. As you reflect on these, as you see how they direct you concerning your duties and responsibilities in the holy orders and positions in which God has placed you, may the Lord bless you with wisdom and renew your mind so that you may discern His will and know what is good and acceptable and perfect in His sight. To His glory and for the good of you and His people. Amen. Please rise. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord, to life everlasting. Amen.